Turn to Mark in chapter number 10. Mark in chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 46 of Mark chapter number 10. If you find your place there, if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you'll stand with me, Mark in chapter number 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 46. Verse 46, it says this, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I want to preach you a message this morning, seeing the truth. Seeing the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so very much for this place. God, I thank you for this opportunity. You've allowed me to be able to divide your word this morning to your people. God, I pray that it will not fall on deaf ears, Lord, but it'll be heard. Lord, and you say in your word that when your book is opened, it will not return void. Lord, I pray you'll help with this morning, that you'll help me speak through me, calm my nerves. Lord, help me to just speak exactly what you'd have me to say, Lord, and nothing else. Lord, I'm so grateful that you have this place and we can join here. Lord, I thank you very much for loving me. Lord, I love you very much. In your name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever been trying to get someone's attention to a point where you're trying to get their attention, but maybe they have headphones in and they're not listening, and you're yelling to the top of your lungs, you're trying to get them, and they just can't hear you? And, well, that happens at occasion, and they just ignore you almost. Or maybe there's someone about to run into the middle of a busy intersection, a busy street, and there's cars everywhere, and you're trying to get their attention. Stop! Stop! What are you doing? But they don't hear you. We have a man here who's sitting on a street corner in Jericho, and he's blind. Blind from birth. Never been able to see. And he hears this crowd, this commotion coming around. And he's like, something's different about this crowd. If you notice that this man had been begging his entire life. He's been at this point in this place. He has nowhere else to go. So he's been here forever for his life. And we have this, I want you to notice a couple things. We have a couple character groups in this. We have the crowd. Okay, we've got Jesus and we've got the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. So the first, let's look at the crowd. And as the crowd comes through, they're following Jesus because they're trying to know more about Jesus. They want to know what he's about to do. And maybe some of them are just want to see what the next thing he's going to do. Right? Jesus is built to somewhat of a reputation at this point, and everywhere he goes, people get healed. People get better. And sorry, excuse me. I forgot my water down here. It's amazing. When you talk, you need to drink sometimes. So you have Jesus, and he's working through this place, and he's in Jericho. He's passing through. And this crowd is following him everywhere he goes. Gather my thoughts. I'm okay. The blind man knew that there was a crowd coming, and so he started inquiring about what this whole crowd was about. why this crowd was coming through. And the number one thing that they said, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus is here. And he goes, Jesus is here. That's the one man that can make me see. That's the one person that can help me get to fix my problem that I have right now. That's the one man that I need. That's the one person that I need to give me something that nobody else has been able to give me my entire life. He can give me my sight. So when he hears what's going on, he starts crying out. You see that in verse number 47 and 48. He doesn't just cry out, "Help, help, help, Jesus, help me." That's not what he says. Do you notice what he says in verse number 47 when he starts to cry out to Jesus? He says, "Thou Son of David." He recognizes that Jesus was the one that was promised to them through the line of David. Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He recognized that this wasn't just a man doing parlor tricks. He wasn't just out here doing miracles just because he wanted to get more attention. He was out there. He is the Savior, that was sent for his people. And the blind man knew that. You say, "Well, how does a blind man understand that?" Well, he recognized who Jesus was for who he was and where he came from. Not because of the tricks that he had done. It was simple because Jesus, the blind man, knew more about Jesus than the crowd knew about Jesus that was with him. He says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He says, and he keeps going, and you see the crowd there. Can you just imagine, you got a crowd there? I have a family member that does stuff like this. He's a little crazy. Not really crazy, but I think he's crazy. He just says things when things shouldn't be said. It's not quite proper. And he he's like, "Dude, be quiet." This is what the crowd is doing to this blind man. They know blind Bartimaeus. They know that he's the crazy one, if you will. And he's sitting there on the side of the side of the road yelling for Jesus. And in their mind, they're thinking, "Hey, whoa, don't bother Jesus. He doesn't have time for you right now. Don't you see the multitude that's around him? He doesn't have time for you. Be quiet, blind Bartimaeus." Maybe they didn't call him blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. "Bartimaeus, be quiet. Calm down." And did he listen to them? No, guess what he does? He cries louder. He goes, "You be quiet. I need to get Jesus' attention. No. You don't understand what's about to happen right now." The blind man, Bartimaeus, is saying, "This is my opportunity to come face to face with the one man that can help me." Do you think he's going to be quiet at that point? Do you think he's going to go, "Oh, you're right, Jesus doesn't have time for me. Can I have money?" Do you think he's going to do that? Well, it's pretty clear that he doesn't. Because you can see in verse number 48 that it says, "But he cried the more a great deal." It's almost like he was jumping up and down going, "Hey! Jesus! Have mercy on me, thou Son of David." I love this part. This is my absolute favorite part of this account that we are reading, verse number 49. Four words, "And Jesus stood still." You say, "Well, why is that so important?" Jesus is a busy man. He's got some very specific things that he's trying to accomplish. But when a lowly beggar cried out his name, he stood still. All of the people around him, everybody's trying to get the blind man to be quiet. Everybody's trying to get him saying, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Be quiet. Be still. Here's some money. And maybe shut him up. No. Jesus went, I heard my name. I heard my name. And he stood still. We'll get some application in just a moment. But he says, he commanded him to be called. So the people, now that the people, Jesus stands still, you can see the change of the crowd. The crowd is first of all trying to get the blind man to be quiet. Bartimaeus, you need to be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you. You're making a scene, man. Come on. But now the crowd changes when Jesus says, tell him to come over here. They say this to him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. That's like somebody telling your pastor here, hey, calm down. Help's on the way. That's what that's like. He says, whoa, you can calm down now, Bartimaeus. Can you just imagine what he's doing when he needs help. He knows he needs help. He's going to do anything and everything he can. He's going to make the biggest scene possible. And they say, whoa. Hey, calm down. Get up. He wants you to come see him. That's amazing to see that. Jesus stood still. And he comes over and he calls the blind man to him. Look at verse 50. And he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. You know, I think this is interesting. As a blind man, he most likely doesn't have a place to live. He most likely doesn't have very many possessions. He most likely doesn't, he doesn't have money. He doesn't have, probably doesn't have food. But you see what he does in verse number 50? He casts away his garment and he rose. He doesn't say, whoa, just a minute, Jesus, I'll be right there. Let me gather my things and I'll come over to you. He probably didn't have very many things, so it probably wouldn't have taken him very long. But he doesn't do that, does he? He's probably got a coat or something maybe laying over his lap. And he throws it out of the way. And he gets up and he goes to Jesus, not concerned about anything that he's ever owned. Do you notice that? He doesn't say, whoa, hang on, Jesus, I gotta get my belongings before I come over to you. Somebody might take them. At this point, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about his belongings. He doesn't care about the coat that he just had on, probably his only coat. He doesn't care about all of the things that are around him. Jesus said, come to me. And he did. Quickly, hastily, he didn't linger in any way. He just said, Jesus said, come, I'm going. He cast off his coat. I think it's amazing to see that. Of a man that has all of his possessions in probably one little bag. Got up and forgot about everything. Why? Because Jesus called. He forgot about anything and everything he had ever owned simply because of this reason. Jesus was calling. Jesus asked him this question, what would you have me do for thee? He says, Lord, I want to see my sight. I would like to have sight, but look at what he says, Lord. That word Lord there, if you define it out, means master, means rabbi, father. He recognizes who Jesus was. He was not just any other man. He was the master. He's his rabbi, his teacher. The one that he can actually grow from. The one that he could get further ahead in his intellect because of Jesus. So not only does he ask Jesus for his sight, he first recognizes who Jesus was and he addresses Jesus as his master. Before he asks for what he is going to get, his sight, before he does any of that, he establishes, "You're my master. You're my rabbi. You're the one that you can teach me what I need to know." He establishes who he is. That is so very important, and we'll learn about that in just a moment. But then Jesus says, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole," in verse 52. And immediately he received his sight. I stopped reading on that last part of that verse for a reason. See, the first part of that verse, what does Jesus say? He says, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Jesus just said, go do whatever you're going to do for the rest of your life. You can go, you will have your sight. He gets his sight. What does he do? He's got a new look on life, literally. He could go anywhere in the world he wanted to go. From his perspective, he could do anything. And he doesn't do any of it. He follows Jesus. He doesn't go and do all of the things that his friends have always told him about. He doesn't go and see all of the sights that are around the area. He doesn't go to the Jordan River where the Israelites had crossed over to see that. He recognizes the son of David, so he knows the history of Israel, of the Hebrews. So he knows all of these things, but he doesn't necessarily go into any of that. He followed Jesus. So he first recognized who Jesus was blessed by Jesus and given his sight, and then he follows Jesus. You don't necessarily hear about Bartimaeus anymore. But from what I can see in this little passage of Scripture, you can see that the Bartimaeus trusted that Jesus was worth everything that he had ever owned, and he was worth following because of who he was. So let's see a little bit here, a little bit of application. We'll be done in just a few moments. What I want you to see is this, is the people were trying to get him to be quiet, but yet he cried more because he knew Jesus was the only one that could assist him in his needs. You and I are both in need of Jesus' help. You and I are both in need of Jesus' salvation. See, if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart this morning, if you've recognized that you are a sinner and that you are in need of Him, and without Him you would go straight to a literal place called hell. If you've accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says in John chapter number 10 that no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. You're stuck there. That's a good place to be stuck, by the way. Better than in the ditch. See, Jesus has you, and you're not going anywhere. If you've put your faith and trust in Him, in Him alone, He is the only way. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." There's only one way to get there. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. See, and if you've done that this morning, He is your Savior. If you haven't done that this morning, Boy, today would be a good day to get that done. The Bible also talks about life is but a vapor, and it vanisheth away. You never know. We don't know the time nor the place of our end of life. We don't know that. It could happen right now. It could happen in this moment. It could happen when we walk outside. We don't know it. We're not guaranteed another moment in this life. Why would you wait to get your eternity settled? Because this is, I'm 33 years old. I've been on this earth 33 years. It's not very long. I recognize that. My body thinks that it's long. It's time to put my body through a lot of stuff. And when you work in construction, you beat your body, and you really do. I've been in construction for I'd say close to 20 years now. I've been working physical labor and different things. And I grew up on a farm, dairy farm in Indiana, and it takes a lot of work to do stuff like that. So I feel older than I am. That's okay. But you see, I'm not promised another day on this earth. I want to know where I'm going to go when I die. I want to know, I want to be in heaven with Jesus when I die. And if that's going to be the case, I need to get that settled now. Because I'm not guaranteed to walk out of here. I put on a lot of miles over the last few days. From Washington State, I drove up to Vancouver. Got on a plane to Vancouver, flew to Calgary. Went from Calgary to Winnipeg. Winnipeg, got in a car and drove up here. That's a lot of distance. And that's not a pat on my back, that's just the reality of it. God gave me safety across every single one of those miles. And I thank Him for it. I'm looking forward to the safety that He's going to give me when I go home. But we're not guaranteed another moment. Something fluke could happen. See, Jesus wants you to know. Jesus wants you to cry out to Him. And the moment that you do, He will stand still, and He'll say, come on, come here. I've got the answer for you. But here's I love this. He doesn't just say, come here, and give you a free handout. Oh, you called for me? Here. No. He says, what can I do for you? That's a good thing. What can I do for you? Your response? Save me. Take the sin from me. I am a sinner. And He'll take it from you if you put your faith and trust that He is the one that can take it from you. See, that's the beauty of this whole thing is He is the one that can take it from you. He is the one that has already paid your sin debt. But you have to first say, Jesus! Take this from me. Give me the salvation that I don't deserve. Because you or I don't deserve the mercy and the grace that He gives us. He died for you. You don't know Him, but He still died for you. How many of us in here would walk up to would take a bullet for a complete stranger that you know nothing about? You don't know his history. You don't know anything about him. You don't know what he's been into for his whole life. You don't know what he's done. Somebody's pointing a gun at him right now. Are you going to take a bullet for him? You know nothing about him. Would you do that? Would you lay down your life for him? Would you? Come on. You can shake your head yes or no. It's okay. No. No. Maybe. I know I'd take a bullet for my family. Without a shadow of a doubt, I would lay down my life for any one of my three kids or my wife. Would not even cross my mind whether to say yes or no. But I don't know you. I don't know what you've done. I don't know anything about you. You don't know anything about me. I'm just this guy that showed up. But Jesus said, I'll take it. Jesus said, no. It doesn't matter what they've done. It's okay. I'll bear the burden of their sin. Jesus says, no, it doesn't matter. You fill in the blank of what your life has been like. And Jesus said, covered. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome that Jesus would do that for you and for me? Jesus gave this man the opportunity to walk away and to live his life however he saw fit. But he didn't. Why? Because Jesus just gave him sight. He is now indebted to Jesus. He says, no. I can't go live my life now. My life is yours. My life is yours. Jesus wasn't looking for him to be his slave. He wasn't looking for him to go follow him everywhere. This man did it on his own free will. Follow Jesus. See, Jesus, when he died for you, he paid the sin debt of our lives. Because there is a debt to be paid for our sin. Do we understand that this morning? There is a debt, and that debt, the only way to pay for that debt is your life. It's death. And Jesus took that so that you don't have to. And when he did that, you are now his. Don't think that's not a bad thing, okay? You are his. Your life is his. And glory to God, I get to serve him. I don't have to serve God. I don't have to come up here. I don't have to get up and go do the things that I do at my church. I don't have to do any of it. I get to. I get to get up in the morning every Sunday and go in and have a prayer meeting with my pastor and the other men in our church. I get to get up and lead the singing at our church. I get to get up and preach on every opportunity possible. I enjoy it so very much. I get to do the remodels and the different repairs that need to be done at our church. See, I get to do those things not because of my abilities, not because of any of that. It's because of what Jesus did for me. I owe him my life. That's a pretty good trade-off, if you ask me. I mean, so let's paint this picture here. Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. Right? Okay. Jesus gave you eternal life through him. So that after this life, we get to go to heaven and live eternally in glory. The alternative is fire and brimstone, where the worm dieth not, where the flame is never quenched. Pain, agony, and torture. So you mean I'm going to serve a God now so that I can live in a place of glory and a perfect body with my Savior for eternity? Or I can live in fire and brimstone and torment, where I'm constantly tortured for all eternity. Can our finite minds comprehend eternity? No, there is no way. I think about it and I'm just like, and we serve a God that has always been and always will be. I can think back about 28 years, 29 years maybe, if I can really think about it, that I can remember. And you mean you want me to think about eternity? Makes you spin, doesn't it? Well, that's how long you're going to be tortured in hell. The alternative is Jesus, who loves you and cares for you and died for you on the cross. We owe him our lives. And you say, well, you know, I'll give him my life, you know, mostly. He didn't mostly die for you. Come on. He didn't mostly die for you. He died all the way. Therefore, we should give him our whole life. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just when it's convenient for us. But the whole way. You say, well, you know, I heard Brother Chris, pastor, your pastor this morning, ask about cleaning the church. That's one way that you can give your life to God. That's one way that you can be a servant to God. You're not doing it for Him. It's not for Him. If you are, you're in the wrong place. Come on, I know that's not popular, but you're not here for Him. You're here for Him. This place needs to be worked on, needs to be clean, needs to be developed, all of these things need to be done on this place, not because of Him, not because of His family, not because of the work, not because of any of that. It's because Jesus is worthy of our life. That's why this place needs to be cleaned. That's why this place needs to have work done on it. You get to be a part of that. You see, this blind man, he had an opportunity to go live any life he wanted with his newfound 20/20 vision. And he followed Jesus. You and I have a choice to make today. Am I going to follow Jesus because of what he did for me? No. Did you see? He didn't follow Jesus because the disciples brought him along. He didn't follow Jesus because it was the popular thing to do. He didn't follow Jesus because the whole crowd was following Jesus. Come on now. He did it on his own free will. It was his own choice. Your pastor will never force you to do anything at this place. You need to choose. Because if he forces you to do it, you're not laying up a gold, silver, and precious stones in heaven. You're not. You're not adding to your riches in heaven. It's not why we do things on this earth to get riches in heaven. But you know, it's a good perk. Because you know what we're going to be able to do with those riches in heaven? Those crowns? We'll cast them at Jesus' feet. Because of what He did for us. See, this place should... I think I have enough people now. I don't need any more. Well, Pastor, I want to do something. Okay. I'll find something for you to do. That should be the heart of the people here. It shouldn't be a, hey, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. It should be, Pastor, where are you at? Let's go. That's why this man followed Jesus. It wasn't because anybody encouraged him to. It's because he knew that what Jesus just did for him, he deserved his life. I want you to look in verse number 48. And I said I'd be done in just a few moments. We'll Just hang on. Verse 47, it says, he cried unto Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried for mercy, not money. He cried for mercy, not money. See, David, the Bartimaeus was a beggar. He had nothing. Very, very little. His whole life was spent on that corner by that highway, begging so that people would give him money so he could be, so he could sustain himself. And now there's a multitude coming. His biggest payday. When there's a group of people, that's when he's going to make the most money. Right? Stands to reason. But he cries out to the one person that really can't give him anything, monetarily speaking. So, come on, let's put our mind's eye in Bartimaeus' shoes. There is a multitude coming. He knows this is, right, I'm going to make some money on this one. I'm going to be able to pay for a week's worth of food on this one multitude. And then he hears this Jesus coming by. And he's not going by everybody that just are passing by saying, hey, can you give us money? Can I have some money? Can I have some money? Can I have some money? He's screaming at the top of his lungs, Jesus, 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 have mercy on me. He's not begging for money. He's asking for mercy. That's good. He recognizes there's nothing more that I can get from this man but simply the mercy that he can give me. He's not asking for money. He's asking for mercy. I want you to notice how he just throws away all of his belongings and he runs to Jesus. Now, sorry, I feel like you're really far away. I need to come down a little bit closer. Jesus, Bartimaeus knew, if Jesus is calling me, everything that I own matters not. Everything I have at this point does not matter to me because the Master is calling. Can you do that? You say, well, I got a lot of money in my bank account. I got a big house. Nice vehicles. I got a lot of stuff. You mean you want me just to leave everything behind and go to Jesus? So he did. Well, that's different times. Same Jesus. It's the same Jesus. See, what do you tell me to do? I'm telling you, your life matters more to Jesus than your stuff. Your life matters more to Jesus than the things that you own and how fat your bank account is. Now, I'm not saying any of that is bad. Unless it comes before Jesus. Your bank account, it can be as fat as you want it to be. But if it comes before Jesus, if your greed for money, your love of money comes before your love for Christ, there's the problem. If your desire to have a new vehicle or the biggest house on the block, and your pursuit of that forces you to not give your time and money to Jesus, there's the problem. All of those things are fine when they're in the right place. See, this man knew, I can sit here and I can gather my belongings and then go run to Jesus, but he might be gone by then. He says, none of this matters to me right now. What matters to me is that I get to Jesus. So, my question to you this morning is this. When Jesus calls, do you answer? Or do you say, yep, I get off at 5, I'll be right there? Or, yep, I'm coming, I just gotta do... Or, I'm coming, yeah, I want to be there, but I gotta finish this. All of those things have their place. But in Exodus chapter number 20, God says this, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And when your stuff, you fill in the blank, when your stuff, I enjoy motorcycles a lot. I have a couple. I enjoy riding them very much. One of them is very fast. I have to be careful on that one. But the moment one of those motorcycles takes me away from my church and from my God, they gotta go. I enjoy fishing. I have a small boat that I put on one of the lakes nearby. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy hunting. Love hunting. One thing I will not do is I will not hunt on a Sunday. I won't do it. You say, well, why not? That's the best hunting day. I would argue that's the worst hunting day. Because that day belongs to God. Now, I'm not telling you any of those things to pat myself on the back and to lift me up. None of that. But what we have to understand is that God has to come first in everything. And what comes up in our lives, you can say, well, I got this thing and this thing happens and I got, I have responsibilities over here. You also have responsibilities to Christ. Just like this man threw away everything he had to get to Jesus, we also need to lay aside all of our things, our worldly possessions, and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you today? Why did the blind man get healed by Jesus? First of all, he recognized that he was the master. And second of all, he knew that he and he alone could help him. He recognized that Jesus was the master. Can I ask you this question this morning? Do you know that Jesus is your master? If you were to die today, where would you go? I know we talked about that just a little bit ago. We talked about heaven and we talked about hell. Would you be in eternity, in glory with God the Father, Jesus Christ sitting on His right hand? Is that where you'd be? Or would you be in a lake of fire? It's a question that each and every one of us has to ask ourselves. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If you do know that you'd go to heaven when you die, are you living for Jesus like you should be? Are you living for Jesus like you should be? Are you giving Him your all? See, this man gave Jesus his all. You don't even see them say, you don't even hear it. It's not written. The man immediately received his sight and followed Jesus. He didn't say he saw it. He received his sight and went back for his things. He was sold out and given to God at that point. See, our lives today, we can get so caught up in the busyness of life, in the busyness of things, and we miss the simplicity of our service to God. We miss what God actually did for our lives. And we say, yeah, He saved me. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm busy right now. too busy for God. Jesus stood still. When you call for Him, He will stand still. The question is, when He stands still, are you too busy trying to figure your life out? Or are you going to run to Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity. And I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You for the truth that we have in it. Lord, I'm so grateful for this place. Thank You for what You've done today. In Your name, amen.